Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to the Jimmy Eats Cars Automotive Podcast, joined by me, your favorite automotive host, Jimmy James Hilton. If this is your first time here, this is the Automotive Podcast where we talk about car stories on the internet that you might have missed this week. Hey, how's it going? If you're coming back. Also, I'm sorry in advance. We are currently on the road right now. I am in Paris, France, because I was just at the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk all about that. We got a bunch of stuff here today. We got Porsche Pixar cars. We got cars getting towed out of the LA River, but let's get into Le Mans. I want to talk about Le Mans. Oh my God. So yeah, today's, I'm obviously here in this hotel room in Paris, France, off the 24 Hours of Le Mans. So sick. This is my first time in Europe, and to come all the way over for the 24 Hours of Le Mans is so incredible and such a special experience. I have like glorified Le Mans a bunch in my life. I think we all have. We've seen the movies. We've seen Ford versus Ferrari. We've seen the Mazda 787B. We've seen all these incredible stories. So to go to this hallowed ground and see it firsthand was amazing. Cadillac and Corvette sent us out. I should say GM sent us out to root for Cadillac and Corvette to check out all their stuff, check out their grid, see the cars. So cool. It was awesome. We got to tour the pits, meet a bunch of people, see cool stuff. We met like the head engineering guy for the hypercar, the Cadillac hypercar, and that was sick. That was really cool. He was a cool dude. Sadly, Cadillac did not get the win in the hyper class, but Corvette did win the LMGT3 class. They've dethroned Porsche, and that was very cool. Everyone on the team was very stoked that Corvette got the win. And I was surprised, honestly, how many Europeans I saw sporting some Corvette stuff. I'm surprised I saw, I'll be honest, maybe it was because I was around Le Mans, but I did see like a bunch of Corvettes around here. Like, I'm surprised. I think Corvette's catching on, and I'm catching on. I'm kind of like, man, when I get back, should I pick up a Corvette? That'd be a cool car. But yeah, oh my God, incredible experiences. I got to ride in a blimp. No, it wasn't a blimp, actually. It was a Zeppelin. I got to ride in a Zeppelin because I found out the difference between a blimp and a Zeppelin is a Zeppelin has an airframe and a blimp does not. Yeah, that was awesome. A Zeppelin ride around Le Mans. So we got to see the race from the sky at around 8 o'clock in the morning. That was cool. That, like, my dad lore has now increased by 100 points. I've been saying. I don't know what the scale is exactly, but 100 points sounds like a lot. Maybe 500 points, honestly. I don't know. How many people do you know that's ridden in a blimp? I'm one of them. That was sick. So cool. It was sick because we could see like the car. You could see the cars. You could hear the cars, and it was just quiet because we were just floating up there. And you could just hear the cars ripping all around the track. And we could see the helicopter too, which was crazy. The helicopter was going around and around. Oh, incredible experience. I did try to stay up for the 24 hours, the full 24 hours. But I caved and had to go to sleep. It took me 24 hours of travel just to get to Le Mans. because I came from Hawaii. So I started my trip in Hawaii. I did 6 hours to San Francisco, and then I did a 7-hour layover, and then a 10-hour flight to France. And then we did 3 hours of driving to the track. So add that up, 9, 10. It's pretty close to like 25, 26 hours. So I was pretty jet lagged because I didn't get any sleep on my first flight and I didn't get much sleep at the layover either. The last flight, I kind of got some sleep. I'm still catching up, if I'm being honest. I'm pretty sleep deprived right now. But I want to put on a show for you guys and talk to you about all this. What else did we see at the 24 Hours of Le Mans? Oh, they have this museum there. And we were able to walk through the museum. The museum was so sick. They had a bunch of cool cars there. A bunch of, they had the Hawaiian Punch, Porsche with like the slant nose front. That was cool to see. They had some Group B cars, which I was kind of nerding over. And then they had a 787B car there, but it wasn't the Le Mans winner. It was fine. I had to like, we had our like little group. And everyone was like, wow, that's so cool. And I was like, that's not the winning one. Yeah, fun fact, they actually made a couple copies. Mazda made a couple copies of the 787B to display around the world. The real one is in Japan. It resides in Hiroshima where it lives its days. And there's a couple little tricks and stuff that you can see on the cars that give it away. But yeah, that museum was cool. I bought socks there at the gift shop and I got a book. Always appreciate a good book. It's all in French, but it's got cool pictures in it. And that's what I like. What else at Le Mans? Le Mans, we like camped in these cubicle things. It felt like summer camp. It was sick. We were there for a couple days, so it was cool. We got to hang out with some like really sick people, other content creators and the Cadillac and Corvette team. We met some like just really sick people. Our tour guide was Oliver Gavin, who was the winner of Le Mans in the C5R. And I was like, when I learned, I was like, oh my God. So the whole trip, we were trying to find a diecast of his car because I wanted him to sign it. We could not find one though. And I was like, ah. Oh. So if I find one, I'm going to send it to him. And cause we're boys now, we're boys. He was so cool to just talk to. And he shared so many stories about like Le Mans in the early 2000s. And also him driving for Opel. Doing a DTM, he said, and I was like, holy shit. So cool. That guy was cool. He had these headsets on. So every time we went into these like noisier areas, he could like tell us exactly what was going on. And it was just so well, he's so well informed and such a good presenter. And then I found out he does casting. So that makes sense. But yeah, Oliver Gavin, cool dude. I cheersed with him a bunch of times. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else happened in my Le Mans experience, my Le Mans weekend. Dreams dreams came true at my Le Mans weekend. How about you? I was surprised about when we went into the pits, I was so surprised how many people it took to run these cars. Not only on the pit side of actually doing like, you know, doing the tire changes and the fuel changes, all that makes sense. And having all of the guys in the back who are, you know, working on little things here, tuning fine things, that made sense. The crazy thing to me was the amount of people that were like upstairs on computers. It looked like NASA Mission Control. I swear to God, I think they had more people in that, in this like computer lab than NASA. It was crazy. And they were just typing away, looking at data, and then they were like sending data back to GM headquarters in the United States. So they were racing in two time zones, which was pretty cool. I was just so surprised. And I, again, they have so many like crazy people. They have like their own physicians there. They have a whole laundromat just for them. It's like so crazy, all for 24 hours. But it makes sense. You have to put in a lot to win those races. I can hear a European siren off in the distance. I don't know if you can hear it. I've been geeking about all the European stuff. I've never been here before, so there's so much new stuff I've just been like geeking at. I've actually enjoyed picking up the French language a little bit. It's been awesome. I've been like just like every time at night when I'm walking around, I'm just saying bonsoir, bonsoir.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Take the short drive to Genesee County in Batavia Downs for the Rockin' the Downs Concert Series when we welcome legendary Motown artist The Spinners Friday, June 26th. Get tickets at bataviaconcerts.com. Hear songs like The Rubber Band Man, Working My Way Back to You, I'll Be Around, and many more. Tickets start at just $20 and include $10 in free play. Be sure to get them now at bataviaconcerts.com.
Batavia Downs with more, lots more.
But anyway, we're going to be here a couple more weeks. I'm going to England. We're going to England, I think, tomorrow or the next day. And then from there, we're going to go around, see some car stuff in England, see some World War II museums. And then we're going to come back to France and we're going to go to Cannes and do a little relaxation. So Europe trip has been pretty fun so far, and I can't wait to keep it going. Anyway, that's enough about my Le Mans journey and my Europe journey so far. Let's get into some automotive stories. That's why you came here. You came here to listen to automotive stories. So let's get into it. Let's get into the main course. Huge story out of LA this past week. There were 72 cars seized in the LA River by the LAPD. Insane. Apparently, these group of people met up to do a permitted photo shoot. And if I'm being honest, it doesn't, from what I've seen, they weren't doing anything illegal like burnouts or donuts yet. And it looked like some of those cars were, they looked like there were some Chargers and Challengers, Camaros, Mustangs, stuff like that. But there was also some other stuff. There was GR Supras. And I think I saw a couple Skylines too. So this looked like maybe it was just a tight-knit car club that just came together. I saw online that people were saying that they were permitted to be there, which I would be interested to see the paperwork because we've dealt with getting permits before. And I mean, I don't know, 72 cars in the LA River, that's a lot of cars. Which means it's a lot of money. So maybe they didn't have permits. But I did see that the LAPD rolled up and made this like a canon event. There were a bunch of news outlets that showed up too, and they kind of just like basically cut off all the access points that people could leave from on the LA River and made them only go out one way. And every time they went out, there was a tow truck waiting for them. That sucks. That sucks. And you know those tow truck drivers don't care. That's the worst kind of tow truck driver. He's been called by the cops. He's like, I'm just going to take your car. Because those guys, they don't care about your front lips getting banged on or where their hook points are. They're just going to get the car on there and get it out. And you'll get it back in 30 days. Yeah, that really sucks. Though I will say, an incredible waste of police resources, though, at the same time. You know, the fact, like, to load 72 cars onto trailers and, like, corner people off, I don't know. That just seems so whack. And I know people go down into the LA River all the time to take photos of their cars, and those people don't really have an issue. And I've seen, you know, just the cops show up if they want, you know, usually, and they're just like, hey, can you just get out of here? You know, like, you're not really supposed to be down here. I think that's just, like, really fucking, it's such a waste of time. They should be really chasing, like, real criminals who are, like, stealing people's cars and beating up dogs and causing other problems, not this group of people who are, you know, getting on the river. And honestly, you know, if they did a burnout or two, who would fault them? It's a riverbed that's concrete and it's not a main road. You know, I think it's just kind of it's a public space and, you know, people are going to see that if you bring 72 cars down there. I think if you only brought like 10 cars down there, you might be fine. Because I've definitely seen that. It's when it gets to like above like 20, then probably people are going to be like, I think they're doing a takeover. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think this was a waste of police resources, or do you think that these guys should have been locked up and sent away? Do you think their car should have gone to car jail? Personally, if I was there, I would have done what I do in GTA 5, which is just drive up the bank and do a flip and like land it into like a train and then get carried away. I'm really good at GTA, I think. Not really, I haven't played GTA in a long time. Speaking of GTA, we got a Buzz Lightyear Porsche GT3 RS before GTA 6. That's right, this is the next meal. If you haven't seen this, I think this is kind of cool, but last week, Porsche released three exclusive Porsche 911s in collaboration with Pixar to celebrate the new Toy Story movie coming out, and I think they all look very cool. Now, these are all one-off cars, and each one celebrates a different character in the franchise. You've got Buzz Lightyear in the GT3, you've got Woody in the 911 Carrera Turbo, and then you've got Jesse in a 911 Targa, and it is, I think, such a cool mix of cars, and they're all so unique. And I think, you know, if you're like, oh, these look so ugly, just think, look, these are one-off cars. And, you know, I think the reason, obviously the reason they've made these is they're going to auction them off, and they're going to donate that money and proceeds to a good cause. So, yeah, you know what? Maybe it doesn't tickle your pickle, but it's for a good cause. I mean, that's what they did with the Sally Carrera a couple years ago. This is nothing new. Pixar and Porsche have, they're like best friends almost. And I'm stoked. I love though all the little just like Easter eggs in this. Oh God, I'm sounding like a Disney adult. I'm sorry. I just think it's cool. I think it's really cool. There's just like, they did even the tires have Lightyear on them. So that means they made like a whole new tire mold just for that tire. You're not gonna drive that car. If you own the Buzz Lightyear GT3, you're not gonna drive that car. In fact, if I gotta be honest, the person who's probably buying these cars at auction is probably the biggest Disney adult of all time. They're gonna get one of those houses at the Palm Springs Disney community that they're opening. Walt Disney is gonna, if you buy these three Porsches, you're gonna get Walt Disney's frozen head. I like the shift knob. There was a shift knob in one of them that was like the Pixar ball. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I wanna take that idea. I'm gonna put it in my Miata. Every idea I ever see, whether it be from Le Mans this weekend or from Pixar Porsches, I'm taking those ideas and I'm putting it in a Miata. Sorry, that's the way it goes. I'm stealing your homework. These cars are cool though. And I think the coolest thing is the Woody car has like a jean paint job. They figured out how to do like a faded jean paint job. I want to do that. I want my faded JNCOs, my faded JNCO pants paint job on a Miata. It looks so bad. Or actually, maybe it looked kind of good. I don't know. Let me know. I want to know what they're going to do next. I want to know if they want to do, well, they've done Cars and they've done Toy Story now. I wonder if there's anything else they got in the pipeline that would be cool. Yeah, out of all these three cars, which one are you taking home? Personally, I'm going to take the Buzz Lightyear GT3 because it's a GT3. And I like white cars, and it's cool. And I like the vents on the hood. I think that's my favorite touch on that car is the vents on the hood. It's got the buttons on his chest pauldrons, and I like that. That's cool. I can't wait to see that movie. I grew up watching Toy Story. That was the first movie I ever saw in theaters, I remember. I think I was just like, oh, this is so cool. And then afterwards, I was like, all my toys are alive. All my toys are alive. Obviously, I don't believe that anymore. But as a kid, you dream. Let me know what you guys are taking home. If you're taking the Jesse 911 or the Woody 911, I'd like to know. I want the Stinky Pete 911. Where's the Stinky Pete 911? That's the one I want to see. Stinky Pete. Next meal on the plate. I want to talk about Mad Mike's F1 drift build that he's doing. I don't know if you guys saw this. Mad Mike, the mad New Zealander himself, just bought a F1 car, not an F1 car, to turn into a drift car. Very cool, sick. It's got this Leighton House livery. It's blue. The thing looks very cool. However, a lot of people are like, oh, this is sick. Cool, F1 car, 80s history. Oh, I'm so upset that you're destroying history. Well, don't fear, because this is actually not an F1 car. It is a F3000 car. So it's a different chassis, and it doesn't utilize a lot of the F1 parts. So you don't have to feel bad. You don't have to feel bad. This is going to be a really cool build, I think. It makes me feel better that he's... because already this actually wasn't even a Leighton House car. It had a different livery before this. And it actually also the engine apparently has no internals in it. So it's pretty much just to look a certain way. It's basically a blank canvas with some pencil lines on it. It's a blank canvas with pencil lines on it. So he's going to erase out those lines and do his own thing. I mean, Mad Mike does not disappoint. He's built so many insane cars over the years. I want to meet that dude so badly. He seems very cool. I'm very excited to see what he does with this. I have a feeling, because he released this right now, it's now 5 days ago he released this, I think this is going to be for Goodwood. And this, he probably built this earlier in the year. I gotta think, oh man, a rotary in this thing. Ooh, that would be cool. Just hear it. But don't feel bad. It's not a genuine F1 car, and it's not gonna, we're not getting rid of any history. Mad Mike's gonna build his own thing. We're good. Speaking of F1, crazy weekend. Yo, you had three Brits on podium for F1. Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton won F1 in Spain. That was pretty cool. And he showed up in a new look, too. Oh, my gosh. Guy's on fire. I don't know too much about all that new F1 stuff, but I'm going to keep saying it. I called the Kim Kardashian thing months ago. All right? It's like one of the first Jimmy Eat's Cars podcasts. I talked about it. I called it, yo. I'll be honest, I think they are perfect together. I ship them. They are a perfect couple. I wish them many years of happiness. I also forgot, when we were at Le Mans, the new BMW M3 concept was there. And me and Alex, we were like, we gotta go see that car. And we never got the opportunity to go and look for it. And I wanted to find it, because it's one of those things where it's like one of these cars that is probably going to get shit on all over the internet because it's just weird dimensions and stuff. I'll be honest, doesn't look that bad. Still doesn't tickle my fancy. It's not as bad as the Luce. Still worst car in history. Alex just showed me an article. So apparently they're gonna make this 1,000 brake horsepower concept M3. And if you hate it, you can go buy the gas version, and you'll be slow as heck, dude. And you can get a burble tune for it. I wonder if the electric version will have a burble tune. built in. So they'll just boom, boom. It's got big speakers. Boom. That'd be horrible. That would be horrible. I would hate that. Yeah, I think the new, I think it's not as bad as the Luce. Still not as bad as the Luce. We all hate the Luce. We all agree the Luce was horrible. I've already seen them trying to film commercials with that thing in LA, and those look like some choogy-ass commercials. They're going to be some choogy-ass commercials. I can't believe there's, like, cool people working on the commercials. That's the thing. Like, I'm looking at the commercials, like, and I'm like, those are cool people. Those look like sick, like they're dressed cool and they like this. Yikes. What a time to be alive. I want us to just, why can't we just have 1980s F1 cars like Mad Mike? Why can't we all just have that? I'll end it with this story real briefly. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Ford CEO, I want to read more into it, but he said that he doesn't want people to have the right to repair with their cars. And I think that is a very interesting statement to say with a car that, you know, with a car company that, you know, you should be able to. I feel like Ford is not a tough car to work on. I remember working on my Mustang and it was pretty easy. This is 2015. It's been almost 10 years now, but oh my God, it's dated. Jesus Christ. 10 years ago, I had a Mustang. That's crazy. Oh my God. So I don't think that it's a bad, I don't think they're that hard to work on. They can't be that hard to work on. So I think that's kind of ridiculous that you would say that. That's like, just like, hey, don't buy our cars. Don't buy our cars. If you like cars, don't buy our cars. But he did mention in the interview that it was for warranty work. So it kind of makes sense because, like, I'll be honest, I don't know anything about, like, computer systems and, like, some of the, like, heavier duty warranty stuff. You're not going to do that at home. I'm not going to do that at home. If you can do, what is it, ADOS systems? If you know how to work on that at home, you must be a fucking whiz. Because I don't know shit. I know how to bolt coilovers into a car and make it worth $5,000 less dollars than it was. That's how I know how to work on cars. I think that's going to be it for today. I'm sorry if this is a shorter episode. I'm a little bit tired. I'm a little bit frazzled. I'm still coming off 24 hours and all the jet lag. Still, it's in my system still. You can hear it in my voice. I know I sound tired. but I wanted to get this episode out for you guys because I love you guys. I love making this show. I love the Jimmy Eats Cars podcast. It's one of my favorite things to make here at Donut. It really is the one thing where I just feel like I can be me and talk to you guys. And I read the comments and I love seeing all the support for the show. And I love, I've had so many people come up to me. I feel like I have had more people come up to me and be like, yo, I love the podcast, than a lot of other stuff, which is awesome. I love it when you guys watch all the stuff, but it's cool to, you know, have so many people appreciate the podcast. So thank you guys so much for watching, listening, and being a cool person. You guys rock. If you want to follow more Donut Podcasts, make sure to follow Donut Podcasts where you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to this channel. Check me out over on Instagram at RussellJimmy.jp. Check out Joe at Joe Weber. He's doing Talk Nation stuff all the time. We got to get him an interview with Gray Newell. He was at Le Mans this weekend. He's Steve. He's Gabe Newell's son. Gray Newell is Gary Newell. It's crazy, right? Anyway, Joe, let's get an interview with that guy. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening, watching. And remember, cherish all the moments you make because you never know when the sun is gonna blow up. Bye for now.